This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. And from the cloud came a voice. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone, but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. I will never forget an illuminating image that Monsignor Hébert once used in a homily at a baby's baptism. I've used it myself many times since then at my own baptisms. I mean, after 2,000 years of preaching the gospel, it's going to be very hard to be original. So if you're going to borrow, borrow from the best. Monsignor Hébert himself borrowed the image from St. Francis of Assisi, who said, if you could see the soul of a newly baptized baby, you would be tempted to bow down and worship. What a shocking statement! Because quite frankly, we should be horrified at worshiping another human being. That would be idolatry. So what did Hébert and Francis mean? The rebirth and regeneration of baptism conforms us so closely to Christ that our souls bear a striking resemblance to Jesus, almost like that between twins. So that seeing the soul of the newly baptized baby, you'd almost think you were beholding his bigger brother, Jesus, and want to worship him. And then Hébert added with a smirk, but the baby's body, will just look like mom or dad. Being baptized, being born again, doesn't just save us. It makes us godlike. Peter, James, and John get to glimpse the glory, the hidden holiness of Jesus on Mount Tabor today. We read, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. I would like to suggest to you that the baptism of the Lord in the River Jordan is intimately linked to the transfiguration of the Lord on Mount Tabor, in the sense that they are both theophanies, moments when God pulls back the curtain of creation and reveals his glory. Both at the Jordan and on Tabor, the Heavenly Father's voice is heard, saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Trying to emphasize this same connection, Pope St. John Paul II included both the baptism of the Lord and his transfiguration as luminous mysteries of the rosary. Both Hébert and Francis were implying the same thing. When you see the Father's beloved Son, Jesus, or his newly baptized son or daughter, you should bow down and worship because you see God's glory. But here's the real takeaway message of the Transfiguration. Everything Jesus did in coming to earth, from his incarnation in Bethlehem to his exaltation on the cross to his ascension into glory, was not for him, but for us. Jesus doesn't need any more glory, but we do. Ever since we lost our godlike glory in the Garden of Eden with original sin. In other words, the consequence of the coming of Christ was not only to teach us how to love God, but also how to love our neighbor. In both, there is glory. St. John, the beloved apostle, who you remember was on Mount Tabor that day, will write later in his first letter, chapter 4, verse 20, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' but hates his brother, is a liar. For whoever does not love a brother he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." Our closeness to Christ, indeed our kinship with him, is rooted in our baptism and made manifest in the Transfiguration. That's what prompted Hébert and Francis to assert, if you could see the soul of a newly baptized baby, you would be tempted to worship him or her. Our radical conformity to Christ, in the sense of resembling him like his twin brother or his twin sister, is the consequence of the coming of Christ. The takeaway of the Transfiguration is to make it a little easier to love God and our neighbor, because we see them both endowed with a similar glory. Let me leave you with my favorite quotation from C.S. Lewis. Again, borrow from the best. In his celebrated essay called The Weight of Glory, the Oxford Don wrote this: "There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. And their life is to ours like the life of a gnat. But it is immortals we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses." That's the take-home message of the Transfiguration. It was intended not to help us see Jesus' glory alone, but also the glory of our neighbor, so that we could love them both. Praised be Jesus Christ.